All right. Thank you, guys. That was a good enough service already. Amen. Amen. Amen for those kids. Are you going to have a junior church this morning, Nicole?
Junior church and teens were having
a water balloon game. Water balloon fight in the back. Water balloon fight in the back. You want me to lower it a little bit or leave it there or bring it up or throw it away?
I'm going to go to the water balloon fight.
It's still humming. Just turn it down until it quits. We'll have to live with it there. All right. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Do pray for those kids. This morning I want to talk to you about raising kids. I used to be an expert at it. Until Jules spent the week with us. When I was young, I could tell you how to raise a child. Now I'm like, good luck. When I was a young preacher, people come to me and go, well, you know what? I have this problem. And I can always tell them why they had the problem. Well, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're doing that. Now I go, I have no clue. Amen. Amen. It's funny how dumb you get when you get old. Amen. Teenagers think their parents are dumb, and they're right. We want to be dumb. Leave us alone. Amen.
Amen.
When I was young, I used to be able to open my mouth and tell everybody everything that they needed to hear. Now I don't want to tell anybody anything. Amen.
Amen.
It's funny how things change. I want to share with you this morning a little bit about raising kids and a couple of scriptures that I want to read to you this morning. John 14:27. John 14:27. But then we'll be in Proverbs 22:6. John 14:27 and Proverbs 22:6. The Bible says in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In Proverbs 22 and verse 6, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is not old, he will not depart from it. Would I be wrong? Okay. My wife is a blessing to me.
Amen.
I'm talking to my wife, not you. Because we know you're not a blessing. Anyway, I'm going to move on. I was standing up here one day preaching, and the old church, the first church I had, had a big wooden platform pulpit, and I walked out from behind the pulpit like this, and my wife was sitting about where Brittany is there, and she looks me up and down, and her eyes got real big. So I eased behind the pulpit, and I reached down and checked my zipper, or I checked everything, you know, and I didn't move the rest of the service. So after the service, I said, what was wrong? She said, nothing. You know how when you're married for a while, you can speak without speaking, and she was speaking without speaking, so I'm like, well, why didn't you do that? Don't ever do that again. So for 30 years after that, I get behind the pulpit, and I reach down there and check everything behind the pulpit before I come out. So maybe she was just training me. I don't know. Okay, I'll throw this thing away. All right, let's try some more. We're going to come back and look at these two verses. I'm going to tell you a story real quick. We were in a church. I've told this story in some of my Wednesday night class, but we were in a church in south of Memphis, Tennessee. And I didn't get to meet the mother of this person, of the child. But this mother taught this child about love better than I've seen any mother teach any child about love. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it's the right way. This child knew more about love than most everybody that I've ever met. This child was about 19 years old. We walked into this church, and I don't remember the church we were at. I don't remember the preacher we were that was at the church. I don't remember anybody in the church except for Mitchell. I remember Mitchell. I will never forget Mitchell. He'll never leave my mind to the day I die. I'll never forget Mitchell. The preacher, I have no clue who he was. What I preached that day, I have no clue. Why I was there, I have no clue. And I couldn't get you back there if I tried. I don't even know why they called me to come preach. Their mistake. So we walked in, and we're walking down the aisle and got up to about where Brittany is, a little bit closer to the middle of the aisle. He was sitting by the edge of the aisle, and there were two people sitting beside him, two older people, a man and a wife. And I just assumed that it was his parents. So I walked up, and I was shaking hands, talking to people. And I went up to them, and I shook their hand, talked to them. And as I turned from them to him, he kind of cowered back and he put his head down. He was just kind of scared of me. And I was standing there and he looks up at me and he goes, "Love me?" I said, "Yeah, I love you." And he went, "Aw," and he turned away. And so they told me his name was Mitchell and they were his foster parents. So I walked away and went to the preacher. And I talked to the preacher and I said, "Hey, tell me about Mitchell." When Mitchell was young, this is the mother who taught him love. Okay, you ready? Remember, when you say something is awesome, that don't mean it's always good. Jumping off a 100-story building would be awesome. This wouldn't be too cool at the bottom when you got there, amen? The flight down would be great. So, I went to the preacher and I said, "What's wrong with Mitchell?" He said when he was a child, from a baby to youth or young, he kept locked in a closet. His mother locked him into a closet until he was malnutrition and diseased and stuff till it damaged him. Mitchell taught me love that day. You know what Mitchell wanted to know? Do you love me? Because see, Mitchell was taught what love wasn't. He was an expert at what love was not. So every time he met somebody, all he knew, have you ever seen a dog that's been beat their whole life and they cowered back? All he knew is that he needed to make sure, "Do you love me?" Wow. You know what your kids want to know? So you have the opportunity to teach them love, but in a different way. Not so damaging way. I've got about 5 or 6 things written down here, 7 or 8 or 10. I can't count very well, but we'll figure it out as we go. That Mitchell learned in this closet, things he didn't have. Sometimes you don't have something, you don't even know you don't have it. This young couple over here got saved about, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, something like that. It was. Can I say something about it? I'm not going to say nothing real personal. That was one of the funnest people I've led to the Lord in a long time. You know why? Because they knew nothing. I said, "Have y'all ever..." Because generally when I go back there, I say, "Ever been saved before?" And a lot of people say, "Yeah, 32 times. And yeah, okay. Maybe we'll get it this time, amen." And I said, "Either one of y'all ever been saved?" "No." "You know what it means?" "No." "Oh, praise God. It's a blank slate, amen? No religion involved here. Just Jesus, amen?" They didn't know what it was, but they needed it. There are things that you don't know and your children don't know, but they need. They say over in Russia that the population of the, this was back in the 80s and 90s that this came out, and I'm sure it's still the same way, but the population of orphans is so large that the babies will actually get sick or die because of no communication and no connection, because they're so busy they can't have time with them. See, those babies need something. Number one, the first thing that I realized that Mitchell didn't have, he didn't even know he didn't have, was peace. Peace. He didn't have peace. Now, I don't know this mother of his, but I'm sure she wasn't a peaceful type person. Amen? I'm sure that she screamed and hollered and was, you know, a very, very hard person to be around. I'll never forget when I was a kid, I used to go spend the night with a friend of mine, and his mother would stand and holler at us through the door, all kind of crazy things. Wasn't any peace there at all. Mitchell had no peace. None. He was alone in that closet. Nobody was there to bother him, but he still didn't have peace. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you." He's leaving at this point. He's talking about leaving the Holy Spirit. And he's leaving the Holy Spirit so that they'll have peace. But as a Christian, you have a peace that the world does not have. Your children need peace. Please. Amen. We've had Jules now for about 50, 62 days, I think. Oh, Bradley ain't watching this. Here go back one. We're too old for this. We provided peace for Jules, but it was tough. Amen. I tell you who didn't have peace. By the way, parents, it's your fault they hear you don't get peace. I'm sorry. Amen. Your peace is in the bedroom with your Bible with Jesus right there. He just said it. You don't get it. But they need peace. Children don't operate well under an unpeaceful situation. One reason is they don't understand why it's not peaceful. Do you know what mom and daddy is supposed to be? One, there. Two, solid in peace. Amen? Do you know why we have so much trouble in our homes today with children because they don't have peace? It's because mom and daddies are too selfish with their own stuff to provide peace for them. I desperately wanted to take Jules out this week and tie her to a tree and come back in. But I can't because she needs peace. Amen? Tell me, shut up. Tell me, shut up. She's a good kid, but I mean, just we don't do kids. I mean, Robin's the only one we know how to do. And Robin's so stinking peaceful, you don't even know she's in the house. You walk in the kitchen and the dishes are done. Like, well, praise the Lord. It must be a fairy running around here doing the dishes. Eh? I shouldn't have said that. Y'all going to steal her away for the rest of the time she's here. Mitchell did not have peace. Mitchell didn't have comfort. He lived in a closet. He didn't have comfort for his body or his soul. You know what else parents need to provide for their children? Comfort for their soul and for their living every day. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." Not the world's peace. The world makes you very uncomfortable. Oh, by the way, y'all ready? Listen. Y'all ready? Here we go. You got it? You giving the devices to your children so that they can look at the world will not give them comfort. It will give them confusion. The devil is the author of confusion. That was fun. Mitchell sat in that closet with no comfort. Oh, by the way, when you stay in a closet, can you figure it out on your own how uncomfortable it can get? Mitchell didn't have trust. You know what a child needs? Trust. The second verse says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's not old, he'll not depart from it. Now, raised in the denomination that I was raised in, I always was taught and assumed that that meant they would not sin. I finally learned that nobody does not sin except for Jesus. Amen? I had a preacher one time said, isn't it amazing how your child insists on growing up and being just like you? You need to be worried about that. He come out of the Nicole bunch from over there. I don't know. I ain't going to talk about that. Your child is going to grow up and be a sinner. You know that, don't you? And so what does that mean then? Does that mean that if you train up a child right, they'll never sin? No. That means that the constant, everyday teaching them things that you will implant in them, they will grow up and do. It's so funny to watch your child when they get to like my children's age. But between the time they're about 13 and 14 to the time they're about... They haven't got there yet. But anyway... To the time they're adults, they'll always say or do things they're not going to do it your way, and we just laugh and sit back and watch them do it our way because they were trained to do it like that. We'll watch Hannah do it with her babies, and we'll watch Bradley and them do it with their babies, and I'm sure Megan did it with their babies the way her mom and daddy told her how to do it. It's funny to watch, but it was instilled in them. But when there's no peace and there's confusion and all that, there's nothing instilled in them. They don't have any foundation. They have no rock. They have nothing to go by. So train up a child in the way to go. If you train a child to be polite, there's a good chance that child will be polite. The Bible says that the chains of the mother and the father are around their neck in Proverbs. In other words, that doesn't mean when they leave home they got chains around their neck. That means there's something there that teaches them and binds them to follow what their mother and father taught them. Amen? I've heard adult speakers before say, when I got ready to do something, I was, you know, I'm 45 years old, but I'm scared mama's hand fixing to come down and knock me upside the head. Mama may be in a grave. Train that child. If you train a horse, that doesn't mean the horse is not going to get mad and bite another horse. But it does mean the horse is going to do what it's trained to do. Train up a child in the way it should go. Everybody in this room today has training from your parents. Amen? When I first started pastoring, I've told this story many times. I was a very young pastor. I was 30 years old or something like 30, 31 or something. And these people in my church came to me and they go, hey, Brother Bob, we got a problem. I said, what's your problem? He said, our 14-year-old daughter is cussing us out and spitting in our face. Well, I don't have any training to answer that. The only training I got is what my daddy would have done if I'd have done that to mama. And they go, what should we do? I said, shoot her. And they look at me like... Because if my World War II daddy would have walked in the house and my mama would have said, your son just said blank, 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 and spit on me, it'd be bad. I may still be wearing some braces in places, amen? Because that's how I was trained. There was no drama in our home. None. We don't do drama. Matter of fact, I've always threatened wherever I live, put a sign up in front. No drama allowed beyond this point. We didn't have drama. Daddy was the leader. Mama followed Daddy. They got along great. They did what they're supposed to do. They loved each other. They loved me. They provided, and there was just no drama. Now, I brought home some drama. Amen? And they undramatized it. I'm not going to tell that story, Joe. You'd be glad. I'm not going to tell that story. Trust. Mitchell didn't have hope in that closet. The Bible says hope deferred makes one sick or makes the heart sick. Some of you are hoping that we're going to get out of here today and go eat. Amen. And if I just told you, I just got a text right before I started preaching that all restaurants in town were closed. Then your hope would be taken away. Because then you got to go home and cook, you eat your wife's cooking. So your hope's gone. You hope that your child will turn out good. You hope that your child is blessed. You hope these things for your child. So if you hope it, okay, let me just share something with you, okay? Hoping something doesn't magically make it appear. I heard a guy the other day say, the harder I work, the luckier I get. You want me to repeat that? The harder I work, the luckier I get. In other words, hard work produces stuff. Amen? So saying, I hope that my child is going to turn out good. I sure hope it works out okay. I sure hope that Bradley turns out to be a good kid. That hope came with a whole bunch of heartache and trouble to make it happen. Amen? That meant that there were certain things that we didn't do. There were certain things that wasn't allowed in our home. There were certain things that he didn't need to know until he got older. I'll never forget it. A preacher friend of mine said one time that they were talking to him. They said, you know what? You shelter your kid so much, they're not going to learn anything about the world. He goes, oh, that's no problem. They go spend the night at your house every now and then. He said they also go to the bathroom, public bathrooms. They reached up on the wall. Don't worry, sin will find its way to the child. It's going to do it. But what influence is the child going to be stronger pulled by? God? Oh, by the way, there's another thing, parents. Don't just dump this thing on God. Amen? This is not his to handle. It's yours to handle. Is he going to be influenced by God, he or she, or is he going to be influenced by the world? Which one's going to have the stronger pull? You can serve God in two different ways. You can serve God because you're scared of him, and he's going to beat you to death. And he will if you're saved. Or you can serve God because you love him for what he did for you. I would rather have my children love me for what I did for them. By the way, you say, what do you believe in spanking a child? The Bible says, spare not the rod. But if you spank your child and all of this other stuff is not balanced, you are wasting you're creating a monster. Because the child is smart enough to know that it's not balanced, something's wrong. While Jules has been there this week, we didn't spank her. That's not our job. We send her back home. We had to get on her a few times. But after we got on her, she just crawls back up in our lap and loves on us and stuff. Why? Because she knows that we love her. We know that we care for her. Has anybody here ever been to me for counseling? Don't raise your hand if you have, because people will say, why did they come and all that. If you come to me, you know that I'm going to tell you what? Absolute truth. Amen? 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 Absolute truth. That's the only thing that's going to help you. Your child needs to know absolute truth. He had no hope. He had no communication. We were built on this world to communicate with each other. Communicate with God. Don't bother me right now. I'm on my phone watching video. My wife's looking at me like she's doing the preach throwback thing at me right now. Because I do that. I look at videos a lot and ignore the children sometimes. My fault. Don't bother me right now because I'm busy doing whatever it is. That's like jumping out of an airplane and having an interactive parachute. And the interactive parachute is reaching out and going, hey, 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 you need to pull that cord. Hey, don't bother me. I'm looking at the view. Hey, pull the cord. I'm here. Don't bother me right now. Then you hit the ground and you go, what happened? Oh my God, let's run to the preacher. I'll never forget one time years ago we were in a church up in Arkansas, and this young preacher, young youth leader, the parent came to him and said he's having trouble with the children and stuff, and he said, okay, this is what you need to do. And he gave him, you know, a good plan, the best plan he could give them, you know, to serve the Lord, blah, blah, whatever. I don't know where he was. And so several years went by, and they came back and said, we're still having trouble with a child. And this young youth leader, I was very proud of him. He had some wisdom. He says, well, did you do no, we didn't. Oh. You didn't pull the cord. I've been doing mechanic work my whole life. People will call. I've said this before, and they'll say, what's wrong with my car? What should I do? And your husband was the last one. You mind if I tell you what he said? You don't care, do you? He's probably, is he watching right now? Hey, Ian, how you doing? He's at work? He'll call me later. He was standing by that door right there by Keith. He said, hey, he said, I need some Freon in my car. I said, the air conditioner not working? He goes, no, my car is running hot. I'm like, inside or outside? He goes, no, you stop at a red light and the engine overheats. You go down the road and my air conditioner pressure cycle off and on. And you go down the road and it cools back off. I said, well, your fans on your radiator are bad. I said, you have a fan bad on the radiator and it's not cooling the compressor and it's blah, blah, blah. He said, well, you know, I don't know about that. You know how he is. He said, YouTube said. I said, well, go trust YouTube then. Okay. Amen. He called me later. He goes, you're right, duh. I'm like the Bible for cars. Amen. I mean, I know I was right. How was your day? Tell me about your friends. Oh, by the way, some of that communication you need to do with your child will let you know what your child's doing. If you've never noticed, a child's pretty stupid. They'll tell you all kinds of things without you having to ask. But if you don't ask, guess what? You know something else Mitchell missed in there? Connection. He was in the dark alone with nobody to hug and nobody to love him. You know, there are a lot of kids in homes today that are sitting in the middle of the living room, but they're in the dark alone and they have nobody to love them and nobody to hug them. There's no connection. Anybody here married? Just cut off the connection and see what happens. Mitchell didn't have sustenance. He had no food. He had nothing to eat. Nothing to drink when he wanted it. That's what caused him his damage, by the way. Lack of sustenance. He would have had other damage even if he'd had food, but that caused the mental damage where he couldn't function in life normally. We picked up Jules the other day, and we got some food. They helped us with some food to feed her, and we took it home. Put it in the refrigerator, put it in the cab, put it up. Then we got a call when they were on the way to the airport. They said, look, we forgot some stuff. The whole back of my car was full. What do you mean you forgot something? Yeah, we got more stuff. So they went over and got, we got enough food to feed on me, man. And she's about 8 though. I feel so sorry for you young people. Bradley told me how much they spend on groceries every 2 weeks. I'm like, man, y'all need to vote him a raise. Y'all gonna be lucky if he comes by. He may just be saying he's on an airplane today. I don't know. He may be down in Guatemala going, man, it's cheap down here, baby. You want to stay down here? Good night. Man, they eat. I thought they ate a lot. I thought it was expensive when he was young. Man, y'all got a problem. Man, y'all got serious problems. I talked to Bradley and said, they spent two things of those strawberries, those big strawberry packages, that long and that wide and that deep. Sent two of those. We've had rotten strawberries for 8 years if me and Jolene bought that many strawberries. They're gone. They're history. She ate them. And she don't eat a bunch. He goes, Daddy. He told me on the phone, though. He said, Daddy. He said, all that fruit that we sent home with you, which was two packages of bananas, two packages of strawberries, a complete watermelon. And you know how high fruit is. And something else. I don't remember what else. He said, when the boys are home, that's 2 days, 48 hours. That's history, everybody. I might start giving him some money or something. Kids need food. They need something to eat. Amen. They need good stuff to eat. They need somebody to take care of them. Mitchell didn't have light. Can you imagine being in a dark closet? By the way, can you imagine being in a dark closet and not even knowing why it's dark? You know how many kids are in dark closets today and the light in the room's on? The last one. I'm going to read the scripture first. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Let it not be afraid. Mitchell did not have a solid foundation. I never, ever, ever, ever doubted my mother or my father in the foundation that they had built for our home. Never. I never popped up in the morning and said, I wonder if they're going to be able to pay the light bill today. I never woke up and wondered if they were going to be able to eat some food today. I never woke up and wondered if they were going to be mad at me for no reason at all. Never had that. Now, I messed up their foundation quite often. But that's what kids are supposed to do, amen? But I never had to worry about that. Jolene's parents, same way. She never had to worry about that. She had three older sisters. They messed it up. But she never had to worry about her mom and daddy. because they provided a solid foundation. How many of y'all have ever worked for a boss before? And he was very unpredictable, he or she, and very mean, very cruel, or any one of those. That's hard. That's very hard. Jo Lynn worked for a man one time teaching school. She ended up getting nervous and sick, physically sick, because he was so hard to work for. By the way, let me throw this in, okay? Can we move to marriage for just a second? This is going to be fun here. Your husband or your wife don't want to hear any of that nonsense when you get home. They don't want any turmoil. They want a solid foundation. One of my guilty points in my home, I will confess, is that when I get upset about something, I make her and everybody there nervous because they don't know what I'm going to do. It's true. I know, and I don't notice that. I don't notice that I do that. Finally, later in years, I finally notice that I do that, and I got to keep myself from doing that because I don't want them nervous because they don't know if I'm going to get upset about something. Generally, when you have to get upset about something, Daddy, I don't know why we're on Daddy's now because I'm preaching to myself, amen? When you generally have to get upset about something, you have lost control in some area. That was free. Your children need a solid foundation. By the way, your children will return home later in life if they get in trouble or have problems, if they have somewhere to come to that they know is a solid foundation. The prodigal son in the Bible. The last thing I have written down here, can anybody guess what it is? Yeah. Do you love me? And you see how Mitchell taught me something? That's why I'll never forget Mitchell's name. Because Mitchell said, do you love me? And when I found out why he asked that, it ripped my heart out. Our children are going off to school tomorrow. They sure need a good mom and daddy to come home to. Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this message. We ask you to bless now our time of invitation, Lord. I failed as a daddy. My wife failed as a mother at times. Lord, there's a lot of things we could have done different. But Lord, I want to thank you for the things that you taught us to do, and we followed you, and we did them right. Lord, help these young parents today, Lord. They got a hard, hard battle in the world we live in. Lord, I ask you to bless them, encourage them, help them to stay strong, to provide that solid foundation of love and peace and trust in the home, and discipline, all of it together. Well, we thank you for what you're going to do. Before I end this prayer, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you say, Brother Bobby, pray for me. I am not saved. I am not saved. I am not saved. Anybody like that? I just don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven. You don't have a solid foundation if you're not sure. I know I'm going to heaven because Jesus provided the most solid foundation that I've ever seen. And I know I'm saved. Anybody like that? If you lift your hand, I'd love to pray for you. Love to pray for you. Father, bless this invitation. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We stand at our feet. God's touched your heart. You need to come see the Lord. Say, Lord, help me. I need your help. I need your strength. Maybe you need to pray for a grandchild. Maybe you need to pray for your children. I don't know. Just whatever the Lord has laid on your heart, you come.